Thursday, and we know where our IT guys are. It's Patch and Switch, and now live from Microsoft Ignite in Chicago, Illinois, here they are, Patch and Switch.
Oh, man, I love that sort of stuff.
We have a studio audience, apparently. I don't know when this happened.
Well, we try to get the studio audience into the secret bunker, but since they relocated us to the secure elevator shaft inside one of the secret buildings of Microsoft, they only allow them in one at a time in the dead man space.
Okay, so how does that then correlate to this?
Well, this is just awesomeness is what this is. in case you're joining us online, you can reach us... in a chat room that we happen to have open. That is at tlk.io/patchandswitch.
Yes.
And also ask us questions from channel9.msdn.com. Down below the video, our ever intrepid PowerShell entrepreneur, Seth, will be there to make sure that we get the questions brought up and forward to us.
Is that an official title, PowerShell entrepreneur?
I would say it is. He's actually writing his third book on PowerShell now, I do believe.
His third book. Is this since yesterday?
Well, the first book is called Power. The second one is called Shell. The third one's Power Shell. He puts them together.
Ah, brilliant. It's a thrill a minute adventure. let's see. Who do we have in the chat room so far? We've got Frederick. We've got Mr. Black Sway. We've got Wireless Life. And P. Strama has joined us as well online in the chat room. Those of you who are just tuning in and have never experienced the chaos.
That is Patch and Switch.
What this essentially is a live podcast that we do every fortnight.
Fortnight, I like that.
Yes.
Whilst we are recording this every fortnight.
Every fortnight.
We take questions, we follow a particular format. Are we going to adopt only the format? We don't script it.
Oh, okay.
We have a format. Normally, there's five sections. I don't know if we're going to be doing all five this time around, but we'll see. I do want to plug, if you're, again, listening to this now, we did record a special podcast.
Oh, we're going to talk about that later.
Okay, we'll save it?
Yeah.
Save it to the end.
We're saving it for later.
Okay.
Saving it for later.
We can do that. Do you remember what the name of the show is this time?
Yes, actually. I have that written down.
It's in the notes here. The name of the show this week is called Delays Lost Merced. Delays, lost, merce.
Oh, merce, because we were talking about man purses.
Right. And how to certify into them.
I've got a question, and maybe the guys back there. Has anybody seen man priests?
Has there been man priest sightings?
Okay, so the studio audience says there have been man priests. Unfortunately,
okay.
That occurs when you're at the event. So, first of all, let's start our first normal segment after we welcome everybody in the chat room. And of course, I don't know who all's behind us, but
right.
we got to send a shout out to the studio audience. There's Yellow Pants, of course. The week of Microsoft Ignite.
What a week it's been.
It's been fun.
Amazing.
What is your take? What is your takeaway? What are the things that you just want everybody to know about the event?
I got the opportunity to finally walk around the convention hall, the expo hall, earlier literally yesterday. And I bumped into a veteran of Microsoft conferences from days of yore. And he was telling me that he honestly hasn't felt this level of energy or excitement about Microsoft products or even about Microsoft conferences than he's feeling right now at Microsoft Ignite. Since, if you remember, it was before my time, he was talking about TechEd Boston. How long ago was that?
Six, seven years ago,
about that.
Maybe longer.
So to me, that's very exciting. And we have been fortunate enough to have people stopping by the live stage, and we have a little station in the back there where we're working and trying to get work done. And I love the fact that people come up, they interrupt us from work, which is absolutely fine because we're all about procrastination. and they talk about the countdown videos.
Yes.
They talk about first time in Chicago. They talk about places to go. Some of them ask to take pictures. It's a lot of fun. That people have been coming by, but they all say, first time, large conference, it feels large, but it's manageable still.
The chat room blew up.
It did, eh? People logged in.
So we've got Phil, we've got Andy Sandwich, we've got Hugh, we've got Stefan, we've got Frederick, as mentioned, One Wise Geek, Netra, Reliant Kitten, I have not seen her all week.
Wow.
She hasn't come by and said hi, I don't know what's up with that. It's all good. Wireless Life, J-Shock is here?
J-Shock apparently is here. Okay. I want to remind Wireless Life, you're actually supposed to be paying attention to a team offsite that you're in right now. So please pay attention to the team offsite.
Philly Herbs, Vilma Moore, and of course Claudia. It was fantastic seeing Claudia. Okay, so we did get a question. A question has come in from Twitter.
Okay.
The question is, what does PowerShell do? So I think the best thing to do.
Think we could roll that video?
Is ask the question, what does PowerShell not do?
What does PowerShell not do?
Yes.
But do. I don't know.
Those of you guys, if you missed it, roll back to yesterday and Jeffrey Snover the interview that we had here.
At the top.
And see the actual. There's also a question, is your hat sanctioned by marketing?
Is the hat sanctioned by marketing? I will say that the hat has been approached for a sponsorship deal.
What?
The hat, not me, the hat has been approached for a sponsorship deal. From Chili and Durables, but also from Borax.
Yes?
Borax is what
it's
I
clean,
soak.
Right?
It's what I soak the hat in prior to attending the conference to make sure it's clean and minty fresh.
Okay. Big shout out to Ledwig who's joined us now.
Nice.
The way the show works is that we typically have several segments. We begin with the first segment, which is from the trenches.
Right.
Now, given that we are in Chicago at Microsoft Ignite, the first ever Microsoft Ignite, I decided that this week's From the Trenches should come from the expo hall floor.
Okay.
Because normally the From the Trenches segment is basically what have we done in IT support.
Right.
Now, actually, you have a From the Trenches story.
I do have. Actually, technically, it's beer money. But
Okay. Well, if it's
beer money.
We'll do From the Trenches. Now, we haven't really been able to do technical support or the day job kind of stuff because we've been so busy here meeting with our fantastic customers and partners.
We're doing the day job, which is working the Channel 9 stage right now.
Yes, absolutely. So From the Trenches, I have a crack team of unpaid interns that we gave $3.383 to.
Wow, triple the normal rate.
Triple the normal rate. I just heard audio engineer scream.
Nice.
And they explored the expo hall floor for us.
Okay.
And they brought back goods. Yeah, that's all of this here.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is we're going to show you some of the best swag that we were able to find.
Okay, so.
Or I don't know, do we say it's the best or just say it is
this
swag?
This is what they were able to give us. How's that? So.
Do you want to start with shirts?
Here, I'll leave you that one there, but I'll talk about these other ones. This one and that one there.
Oh, we lost something.
Okay, so T-shirts are a mandatory staple that appear at tech conferences, and so we just grabbed a couple of smattering samples of some T-shirts. This one here is pretty cool by Altova Mobile Together. One small step for data, one giant leap for mobile kind. That one is kind of cool. That one there is.
I like this one a lot. This is the Logon VSI. And I believe that's the that's a logo that some people may be familiar with.
Yes. Now, this was actually by our now unemployed unpaid intern from the UK, Mr. May. He's unemployed because he's no longer part of the intern program at Patch and Switch, but he's managed to find gainful employment at some software company somewhere.
Oh.
And he found this one for us, and I'm actually taking this back for my son. This one here is Micron. The bacon of the enterprise.
It smells like bacon.
It's not just a shirt that it says bacon on it. It actually smells like bacon. Picture yourself sitting around a campfire.
It smells like bacon.
Picture yourself sitting around a campfire with maple syrup eating bacon. That's what that shirt smells like.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome shirt. Awesome shirt.
Let's see. What else do we have in the box?
Now this is good. This was something that was, I don't know where I'm looking here, over there we go. This is, I don't know who gave this out. This was really good. There's a famous popcorn joint here in Chicago called Garrett Popcorn.
Yes.
And this one here is a particular variety, and I do believe it is, what kind is it? What? It's a blend?
Chicago blend.
Thank you, Chicago blend popcorn.
Yes.
And
you're not allowed to eat it while you're...
The audio guy said it was all right. I could eat this
in
the microphone.
No. No. Do not let you do that. This happens to be one of my favorite pieces of swag that I've seen so far. It's along the lines of, if you remember the Screaming Monkeys from previous. We remember the Screaming Monkeys, guys?
Yeah.
All right, so this is a pig because apparently it's when pigs fly. Now, I'm not going to make this fly because I'm looking at Dre over there and he's like, don't do it, man.
Aim for the camera.
Listen, you kind of flip it.
You sort of hear it.
It oinks.
Nice.
And it's got a cape.
Nice.
So one of my favorite pieces of swag there.
You know, and that's the matching cape. So when you're using the pig, you can actually wear a cape yourself. Apparently, there was someone that had this cape at the Museum of Science inside the...
Inside the tornado.
And she's taken a picture of it, and I've yet to see, but it's on the Twitters.
That's fantastic.
Flying
cape. It smells like bacon here.
Now...
And I am this far away. The shirt is over there.
I know.
It's on the floor, and I still smell bacon.
I tell you, it just lives with you all day long. There's been a number of different varieties of sunglasses. We didn't need the sunglasses on day one and day two of the conference because it was a little bit cloudy because this is a cloud conference. So Microsoft brought the cloud. I'm trying. So this one here.
You realize we have to suffer through another 39 minutes and 30 seconds of this, right?
So, sunglasses are always very good. Now, you've got a special pair, though.
I have a special pair of sunglasses from the Skype for Business folks. Now, not only are they the styling Wayfarer versions, but if you can see on the earpiece thing, not only goes over your ear, but it's also a bottle opener.
That's very handy.
Right, so now I've seen flip flops with the bottle opener. I've never seen sunglasses, so that's a fantastic idea.
I think we need to get a request into Tilly and Durables to be able to make a Tilly hat that has a bottle opener built in on the side. That would be good. Good modification.
All right, whatever.
Now I remember these things as a kid, and I'm going to find out how good our jib operator is, because all you have to do. This one here is by Brainstorm Teaching Solutions. Got the jib shot on there. Ready? Marks, get set.
Yeah, did I get it?
Oh, almost got it. Those are always fun. Now, I did find out I was warned by security, do not aim them at other people because you can go sideways with them and it's like a propeller in a plane going towards.
Hugh in the chat room says, for safety reasons, please do not ignite the flying pig.
Nice.
So that's a good tip. That's a good tip. One of the other more popular items this year are USB chargers.
Oh, yeah.
Various sized milliamp batteries. This is a 2200 milliamp battery. That's what? Charge and a half?
It's about a charge and a bit.
Yeah, charge and a bit.
Charge and a bit.
And then, of course, as always, there are the multi-charging attachments.
Ooh, I like that.
So you've got, it looks like there's lightning cable here and some micro USB and mini USB and USB. So, yeah, another popular thing.
I want the cable.
All right.
Thanks. I'm taking the cable. This came up. This is nice. You can sort of see this here. It's called the Utility Key. Utility. So one key thing. It can do, where is this here? You've got a ruler in inches for America. You got a bottle opener. Two different screwdrivers. You also have a rip saw because you can cut down a tree with this rip. Ow, this rip saw. It actually hurts. That's in there. But if you flip it over, it's the international version because you have a ruler in centimeters. You know what a centimeter is, right?
Yes, so less than a meter.
You have centimeters. You have a pry bar, a nail file.
A pry bar?
A pry bar, a nail file. You also have a protractor just to get your angles right inside of it.
Well, you've got a rip saw. You must have to have a
protractor. I'm going to build my house with this, I think. I tell you. Then it also has, obviously, the most important part is this part right here, the keyring portion of
it.
Now, I do not know if this is TSA approved. There are no sharp points on it, so it might work.
It has a rip saw.
I don't know. I'm keeping that one there. That one's good.
This is pretty cool. When I originally saw it, I thought it was kind of one of these suction cup guys, and you just kind of stick it down on the desk, and it's got a pen, and then it's got your little touch thing for the touch screen, right, so you can move it. But then it was pointed out to me that the bottom is not a suction cup. It's a little felt thing to clean your screen.
Nice.
And it does an amazing job. So when you get the gooey, icky fingerprints all over the screen.
It's a goo remover.
Yeah, well.
Face goo remover.
Yeah, or you could use it on your touchscreen.
On Surfi, yeah.
So I'm going to hang on to this one.
Okay, these are hugely popular. Hugely popular, these things right here. There's two of the same ones. I'm looking here to see me. I know that's my camera. I think there's like 15 or 20 or something like that different emoticons. That's like a hunt and peck game where you have to go to Skype for Business to get a playing card.
Yeah.
And then it shows off all the different partners that are with Skype for Business, and they each have a different emoticon. So I will say, I will have a PSA announcement right now. If you have these and you have extras, come by the back of the Channel 9 set. I will exchange high fives and Azure stickers to be able to get some. They're for my
kids.
Wait
a minute. You're giving away swag?
I've got stickers right here. You can have that one there. That's been very, very popular. Actually, I just saw a tweet from Mark Rusinovich. I gave this to
him. Hang on. Why don't you pick up the name you just dropped?
Sorry. So as Mark and I were chatting here on the stage the other day, I gave him one of these stickers, and I figured, hey, the CTO of Azure should have one of these stickers.
Yes.
And he put it on his laptop, his business production laptop.
Oh.
It's on there. Achievement unlocked.
Excellent. Looks like you got one more thing there. Why don't you do that one right there?
This thing?
Yeah. No, why don't you do that one right there?
Oh. I got
no,
that.
No, you're not. Okay. This? But you're not touching the Thundersticks.
No, I like the Thundersticks.
The things you bang together, the last thing I want is anything making noise next to me.
It's been known that we actually have a segment on the show that deals with beer and beverages.
Yes, we do. In fact, it's coming up.
It's coming up soon. We've actually been given, people have actually brought us different beverages at the back, which has been very, very nice. Big shout out there. This is actually a very nice beer that came in from Manitoba, Winnipeg. And it actually is inside a cozy. Is it cozy or koozie?
But we call it koozie. How do you call it a cozy? It's a cozy?
It's a cozy. That basically keeps your beer warm. And it is a Microsoft Azure open source software option for in there. And then this one, besides the utility, I'm also looking for other various different tools that I can use for home repair. And I found a hammer that I could possibly use, but this is the only one that is actually claws proof. It's a claws proof hammer.
I'm going to make it very, very clear to you, those of you watching home. There's no such thing as claws proof, right? There is claws resistant.
Okay.
Because believe me, if there is a sharp edge on that hammer, you will find it. Yeah.
You have anything left? Are we good?
No, you didn't drop the hammer though. A little disappointed. Here we go. Hey, Patrick looks like he has joined us, and he says, miss you guys, # the crew, keeping my hopes up for next year. So, Patrick, yes, indeed. Good to see you.
These are always quite handy, too. Little tiny LED... LED flashlight?
Yes.
Thing?
All right, we're done.
Okay, we're done?
Yeah, we're done.
Oh, this is the one I did...
I said we're done.
I didn't know what this was. It bends.
Apparently, we have lightsaber fights going on behind us.
This appears to be a pen or something like that, but it's bent in some strange way, but that was it. We're good.
You know, normally this show, it's a podcast for a reason. I think we're seeing why.
Yeah. Although the last episode we did, we actually had Googs come down the hallway, and he was on frame for a little while there.
You want to drop another name?
Drop a name.
All right. So that's the first segment. So from the trenches, a lot of cool stuff, a lot of cool swag. I wonder if we're going to see any pictures posted online, because I remember last year after the conference, after I believe it was TechEd, there were pictures posted of an entire bed.
Full.
And I don't know if this is a king size bed or what it was, but every single item laid out, shirts nicely folded.
Yep. It's like a version of, I took that as a basis for my What's Inside Your Tech Bug Out Bag.
Oh, yeah.
When I laid out all the technology that I had inside mine. But I think definitely. Lay out your gathering of tchotchka on your bed, take a photo, and then don't forget to tweet that out with # MSIgnite.
Yes.
So we can all take a look at that and see that online. Shall we move on to the next segment, you think?
Yeah, but first, let's remind everybody, if you want to interact with the show or any of the live segments that we are doing right here at Microsoft Ignite and on Channel 9, of course, if you are on the Channel 9 page, just go ahead and use the Q&A panel. If you are via Twitter, you want to use the hashtag MSIgniteCH9. And of course, for this one segment, this one little show that we've got about a half an hour left of, you can go to tlk.io/patch-and-switch, which is our normal average everyday chat room when we do this show every other week. Let's see, what edit, quick question, wireless live, quick question, what Ignite was jaw-dropping for patch and switch?
I had an experience last night.
Okay.
I had a fever.
Oh, no. No.
That was Monday night.
That was Monday night. You had a wicked cowbell solo.
On Monday night, I wasn't last night. On Monday night, I had a fever for more cowbell. I got up at Microsoft Ignite Rocks, which we had at the House of Blues. And there was a big lineup. Lots of bands were playing. And, you know, it's not... I want to let the attendees go and have fun because that's what these events are for. It's for them to have fun. But I was just dying to get up on stage and play some kind of musical instrument. I am a semi-professional percussionist, and that's the title, believe it or not. and I managed to talk to Jim, who was also behind the congas at the time, and I asked if I could sub in. And he was like, no, I'm still playing the congas. You can have the next song. And I'm like, you know what? I'll just grab this other piece of percussion over here. And so I had two cowbell solos as well as a tambourine solo.
Yeah, you went a little nuts with the tambourine.
Yeah.
There's video soon to come.
But the best part was people actually recognized that I knew how to play the cowbell. It wasn't just like a regular beat. I was doing syncopated rhythms. I was doing offbeats. I was doing...
I'm pretty sure nobody noticed when you were up there just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Simon has joined us, and he says this is about as close as I'm going to get to Chicago this week. So welcome. John has to take off to a customer meeting. Who schedules a customer meeting during the middle of this show?
Apparently someone who's not here.
I don't know. Apparently. All right. So the next segment of the show we typically do is a segment that we like to call Beer Money. This is where we go and we talk about the stories of the technical support that we provide for our friends, our families. Spoons, sit down. Spoons, thank you. I'm
he's
trying to do that. A show, Spoons.
He's good at that. So beer
technical
money.
Support for friends, family, family's friends, cousins of friends.
So I have two.
You've actually done beer money support here.
The very first one, you didn't even know about this.
No.
The very first one, a really good friend of mine, through friends and family, I had purchased some software for her.
Okay.
And she recently had her Macintosh with a hard drive failure, her Mac hard drive failure. She had it replaced, but she needed to reinstall the software.
Yeah.
And one of the features is Digital Locker. I was able to go in and with my receipt be able to get another copy of the software for them to be able to go off and install. So literally, as I got emails coming in, hey, I lost this, can I get this back again, please? Boom, done. She did the install, it was all good. That was my very quick and simple one.
That's easy.
It's very simple. I'm just glad we had the option of doing that. The second one was actually helping out our unpaid British intern, Simon May, where he booted up his system first thing in the morning after getting here 25 minutes late. Plugs in the power to his Surface, and turns it on, and it came up with this bright red screen.
Uh-oh.
And apparently the red screen, he told me, is normal. It is an indicator that he has turned off UEFI secure boot menu options.
Violating all policy.
Violating all business policy in place, so LCA will be contacting you later, sir. But then... it was stuck in a loop and waiting for user input because it was a press next to continue. It was doing a rebuild, automatic fixing of itself. So I promptly grabbed his hand, spun it around, and then used his finger to say next so that he was responsible for making sure that that was still fixed.
You do realize that anytime you're within a 5-foot radius, you are still held responsible for any clausing that occurs.
But I don't think I think I was just outside the parameters of that particular issue and would have been safe. But either way, He pressed it, it rebuilt itself, and he had enough time to continue on and do the session and the interview that he had to do coming up just in time.
Wireless Life asks us, how many different types of beers were Patch and Swift gifted from around the world? We'll get to that question in our next segment.
Nice.
I have actually also provided some beer money technical support. We have a fabulous crew that is working behind us tirelessly. And the crew behind us, one of them is our amazing editor, Caitlin. And there was
there
an issue
go.
With an
there
external hard drive.
Caitlin had a hard drive issue?
Yeah, so there was an external USB 3 hard drive. We plugged it in, and it would power on, and it would start to spin, and then it would spin down. But there were no clicks.
I was about to say you heard the dreaded clicking sound?
No, I did not hear the dreaded clicking sound. So the first thing that you do when you run across these issues is I checked disk manager.
Right.
Disk manager did not show the drive, and device manager didn't show it. So we disconnected it. We plugged it into a separate USB port. Still nothing.
Uh-oh. That's not good.
I was worried about having to do the dreaded restart.
Yep.
Because, you know, she's in the middle of editing. And then I disconnected it and reconnected it into the original port that we tried it in. Everything worked.
That's the natural occurrence of what happens to USB devices, I think.
I
would have jumped immediately to putting the drive in the freezer to let it...
Because you always go to, like, the worst case scenario.
I know, but if you put it in the freezer for, like, 20 minutes and then pull it out and plug it in, there's a better chance it's going to work.
Really?
And it would have worked anyway because it would have gone back inside the original USB port that you pull it out of that didn't work in, and it would have worked. No, but the freezer thing literally does work if you got a drive it's about to go bad because cold, everything kind of contracts down a little bit, and hot, it expands. So basically, you contract it down a little bit, the discs spin a little faster, a little bit more pep in its step, it's going to work.
Okay.
You don't believe me, do you?
No, I have no. No, I don't. I don't.
I need verification that the hard drive freezer trick works.
What is... It works. The audience is saying it works.
Thank you.
What is the phenomenon? Is there a name for the phenomenon when you as the IT guy show up to the desk and whatever problem there was just goes away because the IT guy's done it?
I would say...
What was that? Auto mechanic syndrome.
I was going to call it the shadow IT syndrome because... But
that's not what shadow IT means.
Oh, I know, but it could be. It could be because you're there. I was thinking you could get a cutout of yourself and just put yourself at every desk.
Okay.
That could work.
All right, let's see. Mr. Black says, fixed drives 10 treats ago. I believe that was years.
Yeah.
10 years ago with the freezer thing. Okay, so that works.
Gotta love the...
Really, Kearney?
Being bombed all over the place. Gotta love that, man.
Anybody in the chat room who wants to contribute with any of your stories, that's awesome and great. We'd love to hear them. Okay. I want to spend a little extra time on our next segment because every time... I shouldn't lean forward like this. That's so unprofessional of me. Every time that we do this episode right after Beer Money, we have a segment called Beer Talk, where we talk about beer, and it's generally about talking about brewing beer.
Right.
However, this week we got to spend a lot of time learning about beer and having some great conversations about beer. On Sunday, prior to the Microsoft Ignite, we had the opportunity to meet up with Mary Jo Foley from Windows Weekly, who was kind enough to invite us along. Kind of crashed the Patch and Switch show.
Yes.
And we met up with the folks from Revolution Brewing, Lagunitas, as well as the food and beverage manager from the Lowe's Hotel, who is studying to be a Cicerone. What's a Cicerone?
Cicerones, apparently, is a beer aficionado that actually goes to school and gets a degree equivalent of being an expert on all things beer. It's not the same as being a judge for the international brewers judging competition thing that they happen to have. But the Cicerone is able to go through and do food pairings, do combinations of different types of hops, different flavor palettes, different styles of beer, and being able to make recommendations on those kind of things. I was so excited by that, I'm actually starting to look up if I can do an ITI course on beer Ciceroneship. online.
Coursera?
Coursera could do it.
Could you do a Coursera course?
You know what? I think the guys from Pluralsight are here. I wonder if we could get them to do a beer Cicerone course online.
Could work. It could work.
Possibility.
So listen, we spent a little over an hour, maybe it was even an hour and 15 minutes, talking with the amazing folks from Revolution Brewing. They went through and they talked about, we kicked it off with the gentleman from the Lowe's Hotel. We talked about a lot of different things of beer, different styles of beer, how do you do certain things. Had the amazing people from Revolution. And then my favorite segment was Lagunitas, because we learned the behind the scenes of their naming of their beer. And what was really funny is that I kept leaning over to Mary Jo during the recording. This is an audio podcast that we're gonna play it because we're supposed to do a show next week.
Right.
But the podcast kit that we use to do the normal show when we're back at the Secret Bunker is going to be on a truck somewhere between Chicago and Seattle. And so I think we're gonna replay this audio only portion next week. But at any rate, Mary Jo was just so completely consumed with these conversations that I couldn't get her. I'm like, Mary Jo, do you have any questions? And she's like, no, this is awesome. Loved every minute of it. So you guys need to stay tuned. Look forward to sharing that podcast with you guys. We called it Beer IT.
Yep. I think it's we should also officially put out the word. We are able to travel. That's what I'm trying to say. My brain is so fried right now. We are able to travel, and we'll do beer podcasts on the road as Patrick Switch.
Are you seriously shamelessly promoting yourself?
I'm like, anybody, come on.
All right.
We can come out and visit you.
Let's go back to technology.
Okay.
Yesterday on Channel 9, we added 6 new videos to go back to the question about what were we most excited about and the thing that jazzed us up most about the event.
Right.
You know, NanoServer didn't really, it wasn't a main item in the keynote. It was talked about, it was discussed.
Correct.
It really kind of consumed quite a bit of time in later sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And so for NanoServer, we had a series of videos already on Channel 9 here. If you go to aka.ms/nanoserverteam, you can actually go check those videos. There were 9 videos before. We've actually published 6 new videos on this, including some new server management tools, including one from Five9, our partner. Remote server management tools, and then server manager. And then there's a video on NanoServer Reboot.
Yes.
Which looks fantastic. And then you mentioned something about clustering.
Yeah, they have a example video of a 3-node NanoServer cluster running Hyper-V as the workload for virtualization, running 3,800 VMs.
I'm sorry, what?
3,800 VMs on a NanoServer cluster, just to show the scale capabilities, what it's there.
That's
again
impressive.
NanoServer can go off and do, at this point in time, storage as a workload, like a scale-up file server,
yeah,
and also virtualization as Hyper-V as a workload, and also modern apps. I have to ask Seth what that means for apps. What version, ASP or .NET or Java? I don't know.
He's not paying attention.
He's not listening.
He's
supposed not even
to
taking
anyway.
Questions anymore.
That's
he's,
all right.
He's moved off someplace else.
Because we just asked you a question, but it's all good.
Yep.
It's all good, Seth.
Can't hear us.
Just continue on.
Thank you. Thank you.
Also, one of the announcements was Azure Stack.
Now, Azure Stack's interesting because I talked a bit about this just in a nice dovetail, if you will, with Mark Rusinovich. Oh, did I drop another name again? With Mark Rusinovich talking about Azure and the stuff he's excited about. And he was talking about how the new, it's not really new, but the new capabilities brought into the Azure Resource Manager to be able to go in and create templates of declarative files that define workloads, configurations, compute, storage, and networking. Those declarative files can be used up in the Azure world. They can also be used inside the Azure Stack world as well.
And is it seamless? Is it the same stuff? Is it?
I have not heard. He said it is. I have not seen. But that was one of the demos they were talking about as far as transportability. The idea is you can take and define your environment for your apps.
Yeah.
The infrastructure is underneath them, and then be able to go and deploy that and put that into either Azure or be able to put that into your own on-premises Azure Stack environment. And it doesn't matter. It's either your public cloud over here, your on-premises cloud over there, or a little bit of both. Doesn't matter. It's all there. Declarative state files.
That's very awesome.
Cool. They're all in JSON. JSON. JSON files. Now, the funny thing is, Corey Sanders was on earlier. Oh, sorry, another name drop. Corey Sanders was there, and he was telling me that his favorite JSON template editor is Notepad. He just recently upgraded to Notepad++ to be able to edit this, whereas Mark's is actually going with the full-fledged Visual Studio to be able to edit those files.
So Monster asks, can you explain NanoServer through the metaphor of pickles?
Metaphor of pickles?
I think this has something to do with gherkins and
yes.
The debate that was held.
There's a debate on the lovely nuances of languages with my friends over in the UK with regards to the size of various species of pickles, being dill pickles or gherkins.
Is a gherkin a dill pickle?
Well, I would say that there's mini dills, there's gherkins. See, to me, gherkins are like sweet sandwich pickles, like...
Which would mean it's not a dill pickle.
Right. But according to Matt McSpirit, he was saying that those are actually mini dills as a gherkin. That's what he's calling a gherkin.
No. Because it's a sweeter pickle.
I know. That's what I keep on saying. But according to him, because he's always right, you know, it's Matt, he says that the smaller pickles are called gherkins and they are dill-like as opposed to mini dills. I call them mini dills myself.
Looks like in the chat room, a lot of folks are talking about the event that was held at the Los Hotel about the beer stuff. They had great times. Looks like Wireless Life is finally going to go to the meeting. He was supposed to be in 25 minutes ago. Let's see. Lots of great compliments. Okay, Sean Lowe. Sean Lowe has agreed with us.
What?
Sean Lowe says that the gherkins are mini sweet pickles.
Correct. That's why I think it is.
So we have solved this debate.
I'm looking for visual confirmation from Simon that has answered the question that he had, but he's busy trying to get his UEFI turned back on again in time for a session over there.
What else? Has there been anything else at the event that really kind of caught you? I mean, I'll go to day one, the second keynote with Harry Shum.
Yes.
And what we were talking about, what Harry was talking about there, and of course you can watch all of the recorded keynotes, all the recorded sessions, and even recordings of the live sessions, recorded live session, yes.
Got them
recording
all.
Of the live session at ignite.microsoft.com. They're all available there for your consumption, as well as right here on Channel 9. Harry's keynote was all about kind of the research and the work that research is doing. There were two major emphases.
Emphasize.
Is it singular? Plural.
It's like moose. Is it one moose or two moose?
I don't know,
meese.
Eh?
Are they meese or moose?
They're moose. Huawei. The first area they talked about was this data. And, you know, there's kind of a theme like big data is great, and you can have all the big data in the world that you want as long as you know how to analyze the big data. But they did this amazing science on tornadoes. And they were able to go back and actually put in, and I believe it was by date, by strength of the tornado, right? You can, on the scale, I believe it's from a 1 to a 5, where it's located. And they were able to very rapidly and quickly filter out the data. And you could see trends. You could see trends by what time of day. You could see trends by area of region. And having lived in Tornado Alley for so long, in the area where there's a lot of tornadoes in that Texas, Oklahoma, Colorado kind of area, Nebraska as well. I found that science to be particularly just amazing.
PPI visualization, zooming in, rotating around, flipping it backwards and forwards, that just blew my mind.
And then they actually were able to map the data in such a way that you actually could see the United States, just based on how it was. That was super cool. But then they talked about quantum computing.
Big jump. I'll say, for me, I was like, what? Going to quantum?
But then I'm glad I'm not the only one who caught what British intern. Hey, God. The British intern has just sent us a note saying, the British intern, hey, guys, I'm at the bunker with your coffee, but you aren't here. Where are you? Did I miss a meeting?
I guess I forgot to update the meeting request with the fact that it's in Chicago.
That it's in Chicago?
Not back in building undisclosed number.
So back to quantum computing, -14,000 Fahrenheit, I think, or 1,400 Fahrenheit. Yeah, it was 1,400 Fahrenheit. to cool this quantum computer. Now, I do have to say, monitoring the Twitter feeds, one of my favorite Twitter feeds after that was, hey, I heard you guys are giving away a quantum computer. I'm not sure.
I would just be interested in the overclocking capabilities of that cooling. That's obviously not liquid cooling we're talking about.
No, it's chemical cooling.
I know. Like, I want me some of that for my workstation back at work.
Okay. On another great story here at Microsoft Ignite is we've had the opportunity to ride around the shuttles and get to meet a lot of folks here and there. I had an opportunity to meet with a guy who was talking about their data center size and how the physical footprint of the data center has shrunk so much because they're about 98% virtualized. And the question I want to shout out to the chat room and everybody here, what do you do with that data center that still exists when you've gone from, say, 30 racks and mainframes and everything else, and now you've shrunk it down? It's like sitting in two small racks.
Right.
Matt, put a couch in a cave is what a man cave, right?
See, raised floors, I used to have cases of beer. I'm sure everyone's done this before. Cases on Friday nights, bring in the beer at lunchtime, and you put the cases of beer inside the raised floors for the cooling, so you'd have cold beer. It'd be perfect.
You'd put like a 2-4 in the raised floor?
It's the coolest spot in the whole server room. Why not?
I guess that works.
It's perfect.
I guess that works.
Now, the only problem is you got to make sure that you're putting the floor tile back on top of it, and not leaving it open and exposed for your boss to step into.
Yes.
Not that that's ever happened before. But raised floor cooling is definitely good. We're still going to have time to roll that special thing that we have, right?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I got you. I got you. Reliant Kitten says it's perfect for a Dungeons & Dragons table. They played in their machine room for a year.
Nice.
So you can have D&D competitions. That's a great way to use it. I think what we should do is everybody... come up with your great ideas using Twitter. Tweet us to @PatchAndSwitch. And next week's show, we're going to highlight some of the... Sorry, not next week's show. The following show, which is a Fortnite plus one week. I don't know what that is. I think it's in about 3 weeks' time, because next week's episode will be the podcast, and then we'll go 2 weeks later after that. Sean Lowe says it's going to be far too loud for him. Now, Sean, the question I asked for you, if all the servers are gone... Right? You're down to just a couple of racks. How much noise would that really be? Right? So tweet out to @PatchAndSwitch and let us know. Oh, air conditioning. Well, yeah, you got to cool the place. Let us know what you would use the extra space in your data centers for, because we decided that we would go ahead and exchange some ideas with this guy. He's like, yeah, man cave would be fun, but isn't there something else cool you could do with the space? Right?
I'm thinking lagering chamber.
Oh. Lagering chamber,
yes.
That would work.
Chamber, you wouldn't have to worry about it. You could do temperature controls, and if the servers start to overheat, you just turn the temperature down a little bit more. Everything's fine. I'm still a little bit nervous about having multiple 14-gallon containers of beer inside with the server racks. However, I think the conical fermenters would actually fit inside of a 42 or 48U rack. Because it's 18 inches wide. I think it'd work.
Oh.
We could probably modify one of those racks and disguise a conical fermenter inside of it, so when the ISO certification folks come along to check to make sure everything's okay, they won't see the beer inside of it. That could work.
Let's see. I lost my train of thought. I hate it when that happens.
Should we do a naming segment?
Should we do the naming segment? Yeah, because we've got about, Jeff Knoll says, make a jello pool with the remaining space. Here's the problem with that. What happens when the jello warms up? It turns to liquid. Pretty sure liquid in data centers, again, like your beer thing, not a good idea. Not a good idea. All right. Naming segment. So for those of you who are joining us in the chat room, also on Twitter, you can tweet a safe for work word. One word only. We pick three of those words, and we name the next episode after those. You can tweet us to @PatchAndSwitch. Of course, you could use the hashtag MSIgniteCH9.
We're done already. We got it.
Oh, you've got it?
Already done, man.
Chat room.
It's going to be, I'm sorry, one wise geek, massage chair is two words. We're not going to use that one. P.S. Pistrama is coming up with Ciceroneship.
CC Ronership.
Andy is coming up with Jello.
Yellow.
And then Reliant Kitten is Curmudgeon. Curmudgegrun. Curmudgeongin. Curmudgeon.
Curmudgeon.
You got curmudgeon. It. Cicerone ship, Jello, Curmudgeon.
Curmudgeon.
Got it. I'm taking note of it now.
Okay, excellent, excellent, excellent. Let's do a quick rundown of the chat room and thank everybody for joining us. Those of you who could not make it here to Microsoft Ignite, we had the exciting news earlier today. Are you paying attention?
I'm getting the name now. Go ahead.
You want to hear this.
Okay, what?
The exciting news that earlier today, we will be right back here in Chicago next year for Ignite 2016. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
That was not prompted at all, was it?
That was not prompted at all. We're going to be 1 week later, however, than where we are, where we were this year.
Yes.
So save the dates on that one. Get ready to join us here. So let's do a quick chat room. Hugh, we've got Reliant Kitten, we've got Frederick, Sean Lowe, Andy Sandwich, Pat Strama, One Wise Geek, Mr. Black, Phil, Jay Shock, Ruiz Fada. Yeah, you try to say that. Wireless Life, Net Ross, Boons, Seth Juarez. Seth, join the chat room.
Nice.
Fantastic. Well done, Seth. Stefan, Bill Rod, Server Ninjas, Claudia Ladwig, and of course, SP Config. Sean Lowe says he's looking around and he does not see a band. We had to pre-record the band before we came.
Right.
We couldn't afford to bring the band on the road.
We still had to pay the dues to the Musical Association, though, to be able to play the music.
Yes, that's true. Yep, absolutely. We still have to pay the dues. Coming up, remainder of the day. Let's talk about what's coming up left, because we've dealt with enough of this shenanigans on the Patch and Switch show. And we're going to get you back, those of you who are watching all around the world and, of course, in your hotel room. If you're still in your hotel room, it's time to come to the conference center. It's it's well after 1:30.
For the
you did miss lunch.
Nice. For the hot room that we're going to be switching to immediately after this show is an insider's guide to desktop virtualization with Bernhard and Ruben.
We've got Simon May coming up with identity in Azure Active Directory. The hot room coming up after that is something that I'm trying to figure out how I can get to.
It's the Mark and Mark show.
Which Marks?
The Mark and Mark. Mark Manassi and Mark Rusinovich. Oh, no, sorry. Mark Rusinovich and Mark Manassi. It's very important we get the proper bill happening.
Is that the official order?
Official order. Mark Rusinovich and Mark Manassi on cloud computing with Mark Rusinovich and Mark Manassi.
All right, thank you. Then finally, then next up on Channel 9 Live, our deep technical interview that we're going to talk about Linux with the Linux Spirit of Knowledge.
You got it. Mr. Tom Harberger. And then wrapping back up with a way to end the day from a hot room perspective, a gripping session that Seth is actually going to be co-presenting at, Windows PowerShell Unplugged with Jeffrey Snover.
Excellent, excellent, excellent.
There.
And then we're going to be back here for the final countdown show of the year, where we're going to give you a wrap-up of Ignite. We've been doing these morning shows every morning at 8:45, kicking off the event with a highlight reel. We will be back with a special highlight reel that they put together for us today. And I'm now hearing, it's being displayed on the screen here, that apparently during the countdown show that we've been doing leading up to us here at Microsoft, Countdown to Microsoft Ignite, that they roll cameras and don't tell us.
Oh, nice.
And so our amazing editor and producer director, so we've got Golnaz, we've got Caitlin, have put together a blooper reel from the countdown show. So that does it for us. It's Patch and Switch. We're going to roll the video. And we will see you guys coming up soon. Until then, have a weekend, everybody. Roll that video.
Don't push me,
cause I'm close to the edge.
I'm trying not to lose my head.
I got the best Chicago name.
Chicago.
Go talk to Joey Snow. We take care of anything you need.
Bye. Sorry.
One more time.
You know what? We're just going to do this without you, Rick. We'll put the hat in. The hat can talk.
We'll put him on a stick finger.
What's
What's your okay. If you could do anything, what would you do?
I would ride a camel and look for fluff. Okay. You never know.
Moving behind you.
Sorry.
Come on, Dave.
Keep rolling.
Yeah, have a look.
I'm going to say action.
I really need to drink more coffee.
That's a combo.
Combo.
That's a combo.
Combo.
That's a combo.
Right, there you go.
Combo. Okay, I'm ready. Let's go.
It's very quiet.
Is that what all the...
Revenge is a...
I'm the pretty one.
What?
I don't know.